it's time for Front Row with Mark Lawson.
Hello, we explained tonight why English National Opera is staging a non-English language opera without surtitles. The author of a best-selling American novel about office life explains that his father's answer phone told him how to tell the story. There's a report from New York on why Michael Jackson may try to block a sale of his own mementos, and the story of how the first African-American opera was written by a German living in England. Philip Glass, Satya Graha is at English National Opera in London. This is Front Row on BBC Radio 4. As an American who's written an opera in Sanskrit, Glass is almost as much a challenge to national musical stereotypes as Frederick Delius. Christened Fritz by his German parents, he was born in Yorkshire, but died in France and is buried in England. And his 1897 opera Coanga, about a voodoo prince sold into slavery, is regarded as a breakthrough work in American culture. As Coanga receives a rare production from the Pegasus Opera Company, Front Row told his strange story, talking first to the opera singer Leonard Rowe, and before that, former chair of the Delius Society, Lyndon Jenkins.
We Delians reckon that Coanga is the first African-American opera. I mean, people talk about Scott Joplin's Tremonisha, which is 1910, and George Gershwin's, of course, Porgy and Bess, the most famous of them all, 1935. But Delius's Coanga was finished by 1897, so it makes him a clear winner.
I think that it's wonderful that during that time period, Delius, Gershwin, Kern decided to sit down and write music based on a black point of view.
Delius, a white Anglo-German, may seem an unlikely candidate to have written the first African-American opera. But Coanga was one of the musical results of a trip to America in 1884, as explained by musician Tasman Little and Delius experts Derek Healy and Lyndon Jenkins.
He persuaded his father to let him go and grow oranges at this plantation in Florida. There, of course, the last thing he did was to plant oranges, but was to write music.
He was 18 years old. He suddenly felt immensely liberated, suddenly finding himself with a lot of freedom.
He just let Albert Anderson, who was the African-American foreman, to actually run the place, and did nothing all day except laying in a boat with Albert Anderson, listening to Albert playing the banjo and singing songs.
There were slaves on his own plantation, yes, but I mean, there was hardly any work done in his own small little plot. But he heard them in the distance, mostly. And the harmonies that they were singing, quite unaccompanied, really were a great inspiration to him, and of course found their way directly into this opera.
If you listen to quite a lot of the harmonies, all of those sorts of things are to be found in the blues and in African-American music and in jazz as well.
Coanga wasn't performed in the country that inspired it until 1970, and there have been only a few stagings in Britain. The fact that the libretto was substantially revived for later productions reflects the feeling that this is a problematic opera.
Well, we're talking about an opera which was completed 110 years ago in stilted English, and I think probably trying to bring it into line with what might be more acceptable to an audience these days has been the problem.
Particularly in the end when Coanga gets whipped to death. You don't see it on the stage, but such things are very brutal, just the concept of it.
The conductor facing these challenges in the new Pegasus production of Coanga is Martin Andre.
It has its complications, I must say. As we work our way through it, we realise that it's not a simple project to mount. It seems like the orchestration is separate from the vocal writing. And the orchestration and the orchestra has all the lyrical, romantic melodies, and then the voice parts are, I'd say, superimposed on top.
While the title role is sung by Leonard Rowe,
the role of Coanga offers to a singer that sings it a tremendous challenge, to say the least. It offers to a musician a sense of well-being, knowing that you've risen to the challenge of taking the music from the page and making it enjoyable.
But despite its theatrical difficulties, Coanga is psychologically fascinating. Tasman Little has argued, although her views are disputed by other Delians, that the piece is an emotional confession.
It's my belief that while he was in Florida during this first trip, he met a young Afro-American plantation girl called Chloe and had a fantastic affair, and then she subsequently bore his child. Reluctantly, he had to leave Florida in order to start to pursue his career as a composer. And he didn't know about the child, but he subsequently found out about the child. And he went to try to find her 12 years later. But she misunderstood the reason for his return and thought that he wanted to take the child away from her. And so she fled with the child, and he never saw her again, and he never saw his child.
I just think that we haven't enough proof, really, to regard it not seriously, because everything that Tasman Little does, especially where Delius is concerned, is seriously serious-minded, and I don't doubt her intentions for a second. I just think that I'm not certain that we will ever find the proof.
Nobody setting out to create an African-American opera today, even if they were a white Anglo-German, would write this one, with a plot including terrifying African voodoo rituals. So is it a piece to make black audiences and performers feel uncomfortable? I discussed these issues with Martin Andre and Leonard Rowe.
The idea of just having the conscience to write this music and the subject matter is enough, you know. Therefore, you don't judge the music as much. The heart is in the right place.
Martin, in the production, some of those aspects which could be stereotypical, the voodoo prince and all the rest of it, that is something that has to be thought carefully about now, isn't it?
Yes, but the context of our production makes that particularly important, because we're using this wonderfully strong and energetic community chorus. I mean, their heart's in it, and therefore when they sing, they sing. They bring their own soul, shall we say, about their history, their context within society where they live in London. And therefore we've been able to approach these subjects which have a sort of certain PC-ness about them with complete openness, and that's helped us all, actually, wouldn't you say, Lloyd?
Definitely. I've seen some pictures of some of the earlier productions, and probably it was, we call it an opera, Park and Bark, where you stood and sang and you tried to emote your character through your vocal phrasing and all. But Helena Kauthausen, the director for this, the stage director, has put a twist on this to make it as realistic as possible, to tell the story and to avoid any stereotypical gestures, and to make it real.
Leonard Rowe, who stars in the Pegasus Opera Company production of Coanga at Sadler's Wells in London from the 12th to the 14th of April. You also heard in that piece Lyndon Jenkins, Derek Healy, Tasman Little and Martin Andre. From the first African-American opera, we move for our final item tonight to the declining fortunes of the most celebrated African-American family.